Hey everybody, I just want to let you know that the entries for this year's Sleepwire Pro-Am and Listener Leagues are now available. Coming back for the fifth season, we once again have a great lineup of pros, including Jake Seeley, Matt Harmon, Mitch Renz, Pat Fitzmaurice, Marcus Grant, Justin Boone, the Sleeper app, and so much more. We have so many options for you to play with the pros and us this season. A one-time $50 donation to our Patreon page will get you into the Pro-Am. A one-time donation of $30 gets you into a listener league with us, and a one-time $75 donation gets you into both the Pro-Am and a listener league. Visit patreon.com/sleeperwire to make your donation, and then screenshot your confirmation email and send it to sleeperwire@gmail.com, and we'll make sure to get you on the list. Make sure to include your name and your sleeper username in the email. Once again, that's patreon.com/sleeperwire and send it to sleeperwire@gmail.com. I'm ready for Rosie.
Welcome, sleepers, to another Sleeper Wire show tonight. We've got an amazing show lined up for you guys. I am joined tonight by my main man, Showtime, George. George, how's it going, man?
Mike, I am glad to hear you're alive. I just need to know, did you make it to Florida okay, buddy?
We made it to Florida. We're here in one piece. I did not get fed to alligators, contrary to popular opinion and warnings that I was getting. So far so good, man. It's a beautiful place down here. We have got to hang out here very soon since we're not very far apart.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Let's get to the guest. Nobody's here for me.
Yeah, not to set you aside, but tonight we got not only one, but two awesome, amazing guests. We have Lindsay OK at Lindsay OK on Twitter. She's a famous NFL blogger. She's a huge Ravens fan. Although
let's not overdo it.
Well, you just overcame that and said you're a Broncos fan now, right?
Sure did. For life.
There you go. Hey, that happens to the best of us. Well, welcome to the show. And also joining us is none other than football analyst for Fantrax, co-host of one of my favorite pods, The Fantasy Tilt, Nate Hamilton. How's it going, man?
I'm doing all right. Thanks for having me. I know Hoos has been trying to get me on this show for a while. It just hasn't worked out, so I'm glad to finally be on here. And ironically, he's not here. So, you know, whatever. Win some, lose some, I guess, right?
There you go. That's actually probably win some because you'll actually word in there edgewise. So it probably helped you out in the long run. I didn't actually get to tell you guys this in person, but last year you were both in my listener or in my pro-am, and man, we had a good time. I think you guys both kicked my ass, so.
I made it to the championship and I got screwed. That's what happened. So that was fun.
That does happen.
I'm so bad at fantasy football, so that really sucks for you.
Oh, Lindsay, that's awesome. That's so good.
Lindsay's being so modest.
It's always great when the people that beat you talk about how just terrible they are at it too, and you're like, well, luckily I'm an analyst at this. Oh, right. Wait.
Yeah, and I lost. Yeah, right. Good times.
It's wonderful. Okay, let's go ahead and kick this off with the news first. Michael Thomas is getting paid. 5-year, $100 million deal. The highest paid receiver in the history of football. I'm not going to own him, but man, I feel like he deserved that money. What do you guys think about that deal?
Yeah, I mean, he absolutely deserved it. You know, he's been a top 7 wide receiver since 2016 when he came into the league. You know, obviously the top target for Drew Brees, and, you know, he's going to be amazing for years to come. So he deserves it. I'm a little worried about his value going forward though. When Drew Brees decides to hang it up, because, I don't know what their backup plan is there in New Orleans. So I'm a little worried about that, but other than that, man, he definitely deserved it. You know, $61 million of that, which is guaranteed. So he got paid, man.
Yeah, I've seen a lot of, like, Falcons fans hate on him for some reason, but I just feel like they're jealous because Julio Jones breaks his glass foot like once a season. So, but I mean, I agree. He definitely deserves it.
What's a sleeper wire show without Lindsay hating on the Falcons? I love it. I absolutely love it. Since 1970, Michael Thomas in his first 3 years is first in receptions, fourth in receiving yards, first in catch percentage, 14th in yards per target. Dude is an absolute stud, and he deserved every penny he got paid.
Yeah, see, I have much respect for him as an athlete. I really, really do. But as a fantasy guy, I just can't own him. I'm not a big fan of New Orleans receivers. They just, I don't know, they never seem to pan out. But good for him. Good for you, Michael Thomas. Spend that money wisely. Buy me stuff. You can buy me stuff. I'm pretty close to you now. We got Dexter Williams. He's getting first team reps. Is he worth grabbing outside of Dynasty in early redrafts? Are you guys looking at this guy at all?
I'm not interested at all in Dexter Williams. You know, I'm very high on Aaron Jones this season. And to be honest, if he can't pull it off, then it's going to be very difficult for any back in that offense to do it. So, you know, if for some reason Aaron Jones goes down, because he's supposed to be the number one guy there, if he does go down, then, you know, they have Aaron Rodgers and they have Devontae Adams and they have Geronimo Allison, they have MVS. They're going to throw the ball. They have Jimmy Graham even. So they're going to have no problem throwing the ball a ton should their star running back go down. So, no, I'm not interested in Dexter Williams, unfortunately.
I agree, definitely. You said it all.
Yeah, I mean, in Dynasty, okay, I'm interested, but in redraft, no, thank you.
Yeah, see, I can see him maybe being the running back of the future there, but I'm with you. I mean, there's so many different mouths to feed on that offense. That guy, he's big. I really think he might be the guy for the team long run. So, yeah, grab him in Dynasty as much as you can, but, yeah, I'm avoiding him this year. Where is Zeke? Ezekiel Elliott. Is he going to be chilling in Hawaii watching football with Melvin Gordon? Is anybody touching these guys? They're both still going in the first round on as far as ADP goes, but I think they're both going to pull the old Le'Veon Bell and watch football this year.
Yeah, I definitely agree. I'm actually kind of drafting something on this right now, but it's something about how much leverage do any of these holdouts have. And unfortunately, as a running back, I mean, we saw with James Conner last year, like, they're so indispensable. So, I mean, you can just turn around and do the same thing with the next guy up. And unfortunately, that does not work in their favor.
Yeah, I mean, exactly what Lindsay just said. But the truth is, we've already seen Justin Jackson step in and perform pretty well, actually, for the Chargers. And they've also have Austin Eckler in there as well. So I'm more worried about Melvin Gordon because, you know, there was that video of him saying, hey, he would do the same thing Le'Veon Bell did. Sure enough, a year later, here we are. And, you know, he plans on doing it. And I don't think the Chargers have anything to worry about. You know, I love Melvin Gordon as a talent, but I think they have enough there in that offense where they can actually get by and get through. I don't think it's going to cost them many games. Now, for the Cowboys, completely different story. Zeke is that offense. If he's not there, Dak's not doing great. Amari Cooper's not going to do great. You know, he is the backbone of that offense. I expect them to work out something, but it's definitely not a good look that he left the country. You know, sources say he's in Mexico right now training, you know, until he gets some kind of deal. But, you know, the Cowboys have sent him an offer and he hasn't sent a counter. So I'm a little worried about Zeke enough to not take him in a draft. I just went in number two. CMC went number one. And I took Saquon Barkley with the second pick. And Zeke is my 101, so I normally would have taken him there. But just in case, I don't want to own too much of Zeke and get screwed everywhere. So I'm fading him just slightly.
Yeah, I'm more concerned with Melvin Gordon than I am with Ezekiel Elliott. I think Zeke will eventually show up. He's still got a couple years left on his contract. I think they're going to pull him aside and say, hey, listen, we've got to deal with Amari Cooper. We got to deal with Dak Prescott. We've got other guys ahead of you that we have to pay first. Come back to us. Let's sit down next offseason and we'll hammer something out. As far as Melvin Gordon, I'm more concerned about him. I think he will actually pull a Le'Veon Bell.
Yeah, I could see it. I could see it with him more so. But I don't know. I'm with Nate on that. I think the Ezekiel Elliott thing, I think he is the offense. I think they'll actually pay him as well. I think you'll see them make the room for the money. That team has kind of a history of doing that. Melvin Gordon, though, I'm completely avoid.
I wonder if the Cowboys wish they would have re-signed Rod Smith versus bringing in old Alfred Morris.
I liked Rod Smith, man. I was a fan of his, but I didn't ever think he was going to take over a full-time role anyway. So, you know, they have Pollard for the receiving back duties. So I'm not sure. I would have liked them to keep Rod Smith. I just didn't ever see him stepping in if Zeke was ever to go missing. So, you know, I'm not sure about that.
Yeah, and that was kind of my point. I think Rod Smith is much better running back than Alfred Morris. And I think right now, if Zeke does decide to sit and not come in, I think they would rather have had Rod Smith as the backup versus having Alfred Morris back there.
That's fair.
Yeah, I can agree with that all day long, too. Okay, well, let's hop on the hype train, guys. Let's go through some of the things. Most of these are taken off of our friends over there at Sleeper app. News that a team of experts deem hype-worthy anyways. So the first bit of hype news that we have going on tonight is Marcus Mariota says he likes Corey Davis's body language. He's excited to get on the field with him after all his hard work this offseason. He likes the separation he's creating on routes. Is this hype? Or is this guy worth grabbing? Are we grabbing Mariota? Are we grabbing Corey Davis in drafts this year?
Unfortunately, I think this is Marcus Mariota's like last chance with the Titans. So he needs all the help he can get at this point. I don't know if saying good things about Corey Davis like that is going to make that happen for him. But I mean, you know,
I'm staying I mean, I'm staying away from Mariota. You know, he is going to be desperate this season. So it is possible we see a bump in his production from compared to last year, but he may not even make it throughout the whole season. So I'm worried about Mariota. I'm not thinking about drafting him at all. Corey Davis, this is basically his make it or break it year. He's on that, you know, Devontae Parker level where if he doesn't come through big this year, then he's dead to me. And, you know, it's a weird quote, though. It's a weird thing to say. I'm liking his body language. Like, does that mean, like, last year, Corey Davis, his body language wasn't good? Like, was he moping around? And now because it's, you know, a new season, he's liking that he's got some energy? I don't understand. Honestly, I don't understand what Mariota's trying to say. He didn't say, oh, he's got amazing hands. He's been great in, you know, when I'm throwing him the ball. He's not saying anything like that. He's saying body language. And I guess I'm a little confused by it.
Well, I'll help you out. Last year, see, Marcus spent so much time on the bench. He wasn't up close with Corey Davis, so he couldn't get a good read on his body language.
Got it.
And so now that he's not injured, he's getting a little closer. He can see the body language. So he's infatuated with the body language up close.
Well done, yeah.
I don't think that's going to translate to anything on the field. I wouldn't even be surprised, and this pains me to say, if Ryan Tannehill ends up the starter by the end of the season in Tennessee.
I completely forgot Ryan Tannehill is on that team. That's hilarious.
Yeah, I only know because I'm a Dolphins fan, and he was unfortunately our starter for the last few years. But
I'm a Dolphins fan too now.
Oh, are you? Okay, good. Mm-hmm. we have room on the bandwagon. There's not many of us here. I'm not touching Mariota. If I can get Corey Davis at a value, I'd absolutely take him in a draft. But at his current ADP, he's a huge fade for me.
Yeah, same here. I can't get on board with any of this. I mean, Tennessee's offense has just been a dumpster fire for so long, and it just doesn't seem like anything is different about Marcus Mariota, and I feel like he's part of the big reason. I think that Corey Davis with a different quarterback actually has some appeal to him because he is a great receiver. So maybe that's what he's saying. Like, hey, don't pay me, pay this guy. We got Jordan Reed. He is celebrating not having surgery this season and says he feels more explosive, feels a lot better this year. Do you think he means explosive, like something inside of him is actually going to explode again?
Or yes.
Are we,
That's exactly what it means. I'm just as excited of him celebrating not having surgery this offseason as I am for turning 34 years old this Saturday. So I'm not excited at all about it. So Jordan Reed, man, he was dead to me like 2-3 years ago. And it's kind of like this corpse of Jordan Reed that's creeping back. And, you know, if there's one thing that's working for him is that everybody on the Redskins sucks. So he might actually look pretty good this season. But I think the MVP is going to be the medical tent.
Yeah, I mean, the injuries that he has had are like injuries that are not easy to overcome. Or if you do overcome them, they kind of linger, like the toe thing. Yeah. He had like a concussion. He had, a hamstring tear and like a chest contusion. Like those things aren't calf strains. They're not, you know, even like, I'm not saying a torn ACL is like something easy to overcome, but if you have it done the right way, like you're pretty much back on your feet after a certain length of time. But I mean, the toe thing, I mean, you hear that all the time, the turf toe, that doesn't really go away ever.
Mm-mm. Yeah. So in the Scott Fishbowl, I actually drafted Jordan Reed. In a tight end premium league like that, I got him in the 14th round. So that basically tells me he's going undrafted in most leagues, because I don't know, most leagues probably aren't tight end premium leagues.
Right.
I'm looking at Sports Injury Predictor right now. Jordan Reed has a 67.5% chance of injury in 2019. So I am not drafting him at all. That's it. I thought that was low at that. I mean, I do agree with what Nate said, though. If you look around what wide receivers are on that team, he's probably going to be the best, quote-unquote, passing option on that team, maybe other than Chris Thompson. But, I mean, you're only going to get him for, you know, maybe 9 or 10 games. He's going to miss a whole bunch of games. It's just stay away from him.
So we're not drafting him in the 16th. Then. That's
no.
I can get behind that. I've actually never really been a big Jordan Reed guy myself, but there was a couple of years where he was somewhat fantasy viable, but those years are very, very much behind us. We got Keyshawn Johnson turning heads in camp, which is funny because it's not the Keyshawn Johnson I'm used to talking about. He seems to be looking like a legitimate threat on this offense. You have David Johnson jumping up to number 5 in the ADP for most of your PPR leagues, at least according to the fantasy football calculator. Is Arizona on the move this year? Are they going to move the football? Or are we tapping out on that offense? What are you guys thinking?
I think the Kyler Murray thing is being a little overblown, like, because there's a lot of new things going on in this offense. You got a rookie quarterback. You have a bunch of young wide receivers. And this offense struggled mightily just last season. Okay, I understand there's new coaches, but again, there's the new word again. And you can't expect everything just to come out and gel. I could see it probably developing throughout the season, but I honestly see this offense struggling early just because there's so much to overcome when it comes to all the newness, you know. And it's a possibility where I might be aiming for these guys halfway through the season, once everyone's thinking, oh my God, you know, they're 1-4, 1-5. And, you know, I'm dropping this guy. I might pick him up then just to see if things start turning around. That might be the best way to go about it. But I am not high on Kyler Murray like the rest of the world is. I think I'm going to have him at like QB 16. I'm just not willing to put him there because A, I haven't seen it yet. And the best wide receiver he's got on his team is, I think, 34, 35 years old. I mean, I don't know. I'm not into it this year.
Yeah, I think the best thing to happen for these young wide receivers is to be mentored by Larry Fitzgerald. Other than that, I don't really see them doing anything.
Agreed.
Yeah, I agree. New quarterback, new coach, new wide receivers, new tight ends, bad offensive line. The defense is a little suspect. It's not going to be pretty in Arizona. They're talking about they want to run 70, 75 plays a game. For fantasy purposes, that's exciting, but it's going to be a lot of sloppiness. I'm glad to hear Nate is extremely reasonable. He's the first person I've heard be reasonable with regards to Kyler Murray. I've heard people say they've got him in the top 10, the top 8. Nice. I'm like, can we calm
a
second?
He hasn't
played a game yet. Yeah, exactly. He's never played a single snap in the NFL. It's just, I don't, I don't see it. I don't like it. I get the upside. I get the potential. But a lot of careers have died on upside and potential. And we don't really know what we're dealing with in Arizona. So they're all a fade for me. DJ at five. I don't hate that as far as his ADP. I like it better around 8 to 10. But if you take him at five, you know, I'm not going to hammer you on that. I get it.
He's taking the place of Melvin Gordon, basically. And so exactly. That's just what happened, you know?
Yep. Yep. Exactly.
Yeah, I don't see him giving you the output at five, but I'm with you. 8 or 10. I mean, if you're into him, you're going to have to grab him there either way. So I'm with that. But yeah, I'm really fading everything else on this offense because it really is. It's just like Larry Fitzgerald and a bunch of kids running around asking him, hey, buddy, how do I do this? How do I do this? So it's not going to be pretty. It's not going to be good the first. I'm with you. I don't really think it's even going to be the first half of the season. I think it's going to be the first couple of years. And then after that, they're going to start maybe getting back into form there. We got Hollywood Brown. Passed his physical. He's going to start practicing. Is this guy going to be the missing link for Lamar's passing attack, or is this just more hype? And Lindsay, our resident Broncos fan, Ravens fan, we're going to go ahead and turn this to you. What do you think?
First of all, you said Lamar's passing attack. What passing attack?
That's thank my you. Oh, yes, I love you.
So I will give Lamar this. He went into last year kind of with the, oh my gosh, I was drafting the first round. I got this in the bag. It's fine. And then look what happened. You got shellacked in a playoff game. But he's kind of matured on that front, but that's not going to win him games at all. So what I don't understand about the Ravens this year is they drafted Hollywood Brown. He's like a deep threat receiver, and they have a quarterback who cannot throw deep. I don't understand that. It's idiotic to me. It makes me so angry. I think this is the guy they want to be the missing link for Lamar's quote unquote passing attack, but it's not going to happen this year, and it probably won't ever happen because I don't see Lamar waking up one day and knowing how to throw because right now he can't.
Yeah, so I'm right there with you. And I hate to be so negative on all these things you guys are bringing up, but come on. Marcus Mariota, Corey Davis, Jordan Reed. You're talking about the, Arizona offense. And now Lamar Jackson's passing attack. I can't, like, I guess I'm staying on hashtag brand because, you know, I'm a co-host of the Fantasy Tilt podcast. But I'm tilting really bad right now because just today, the Baltimore Ravens tweeted out a video from camp of Lamar Jackson throwing a pick six. And they said Earl Thomas or Ed Reed. And all I did, I quote tweeted it. And I said, your franchise QB was just picked off. So it's like, why are they even promoting that? I don't care how good the interception was. It really wasn't. It was right in his hands because Lamar Jackson doesn't throw the ball well. And they're highlighting such a question mark heading into the season. And I don't know. It was such a bizarre tweet for them to do that. So I don't know, man. No. So to answer your question, I am not excited about the Ravens offense at all. The only one person here I am excited about is Mark Ingram. And he's a meh option for me.
I love Mark Andrews. Mark Andrews I think he's going to be fantastic this year. But again, at the end of the day, look who's throwing him the ball.
Agreed.
Nate, I'm going to help with your Twitter game here. Yeah. The correct tweet to that was Lamar Jackson or Nathan Peterman. But nice. As far as Hollywood Brown being the missing piece, he's not. Lindsay nailed it. He's a deep threat guy, and you have a quarterback who cannot throw deep. He can throw deep, I think, but I don't think he throws deep with any accuracy. So unless, you know, Hollywood Brown has 5, 6, 7, 8 yards on his defender, he's not going to be able to get hit. So, yeah, he's not the missing piece. Not at all.
Okay. I completely agree. I just like to throw these things out there just because it is the hype train. You know, you gotta keep on going on that hype thing where these coach speak and everything like that. You got to stay up with it. Just like this next one, we got Maurice Harris will be the starter if the season began today. According to Kevin Duffy, the Pats beat writer, he also added, he wasn't anything prolific, but he can play slot on the outside. He's been the most consistent wide receiver in camp. Are we buying the stock, or is it all just like, blah, just another Patriots receiver who isn't Julian Edelman?
I'm sorry, who?
Like, yeah, I literally had to Google this guy.
What are we talking about?
I was looking him up right now.
Unbelievable.
Like, me too.
I wasn't even going to Google it. I just want to flat out ask the question who this guy is. Like, what? Okay. I will tell you Tom Brady's receivers for 2019. Julian Edelman and James White. And that's where it ends for me. I don't know who else. I mean, if I'm talking from a fantasy perspective, that's all I care about. And, you know, you can talk about the rookies, Nakeem Harris and all that stuff. We know rookie wide receivers don't end up doing well 95% of the time for fantasy football purposes. So Maurice Harris, I mean, sure, anything can happen, right? Anything could happen. But again, like you said, this is hype stuff. You need to fade this because it's just the way the Patriots run their offense. It is so ridiculous. There's one guy one week that they rule the waiver wire, right? Because there's one guy one week that'll get 100 yards, 2 touchdowns. Like everybody picks him up, and then he's like benched the next game. So you can't ever trust anything they do here unless his name is Edelman, James White, or Rob Gronkowski, and we know Gronk is gone. So
I looked him up on Player Profiler because if there's somebody who I don't know who they are, I tend to go to Player Profiler because I like the way how they break things down and they give closest comparables and all that. This guy's closest comparable is Daron Carter. And please feel free to say who.
I don't know who that is either.
I don't either. I clicked on to see who it was, and it's another undrafted rookie.
You just ended the conversation. When you have to Google the guy that you just Googled is compared to, that's a problem.
That's a real problem.
So Jake Seeley and I had this conversation not too long ago on a different show, and we both landed on we'd both rather have Rob Gronkowski than Maurice Harris.
There you go.
I feel nice. Like, we also feel like by week 6 or 7, that might be the right move. So
true.
We got Nick Foles and Dede Westbrook. They're getting things done down in Jacksonville where they connected on a deep pass down the right side of the field for the touchdown. It was like the defense completely forgot about he was being there. So are all the pieces working out? Are we drafting Jaguars now? Do we have a smile on our face now that Nick Foles is down there at the helm?
So the thing about Nick Foles, I like Nick Foles. You know, I think what he did in Philly was good. But you have to realize that Nick Foles was completely like set up to succeed in Philly. Like he had a great coaching staff. He had a deep roster. And with the Jaguars, he doesn't have any of that. So I feel like we're about to see like the actual Nick Foles instead of like the Philly, like big dick Nick Foles.
Right. No, I agree. I agree with you. I mean, I'm going to try to be positive for a second, right? Because I've been negative this entire episode. So
negative so, Nate.
No. Yeah, that's hey. You, go ahead. That's fine. Like I said, co-host of the Fantasy Kill Pod, so I might as well just be negative. Anyways, Nick Foles, I kind of believe that he can do something. I don't want to use the word
better than Blake Bortles.
Better than Blake Bortles. Thank you very much, Lindsay. I appreciate that. And Dede Westbrook, man, he's a big receiver. He's a big freaking target. So sure, I might buy into Dede Westbrook, you know, toward the end of drafts. And, you know, hopefully he's definitely going in double digits. There's no doubt about that. I think everybody's poo-pooing this offense. And I think for fantasy value, they're going to provide something because I expect them to be down often, which means they're going to throw the ball a ton. And, you know, somebody's got to benefit from that. And if it's anybody, I like Dede Westbrook's chances, especially in, you know, in the red zone.
So the thing I've always said about Nick Foles, especially when he went to Jacksonville, is he does remind me a little bit of Blake Bortles in the sense that he's a lot less athletic than Blake Bortles, but he's a lot more accurate than Blake Bortles. So he's not as
handsome.
Well, I mean, that's debatable. I find neither one attractive, but I'll take your word for it. But I mean, I think his accuracy is going to be an upgrade. Let's not forget that, you know, the Jaguars just 2 years ago, I think it was, you know, they were challenging New England to go to the Super Bowl. So I'm not poo-pooing the Jacksonville offense. I mean, they got that far with Blake Bortles. You know, there's a chance they could, you know, kind of duplicate that with Nick Foles back there. The defense is still a solid defense all around. They're talking about Leonard Fournette could possibly see in catching upwards of 60 catches this year, which would be phenomenal if he stays on the field that much. But I just, against Fournette, I don't see it.
But, it's a big if.
Yeah, huge if. But I'm kind of with Nate. I don't want to poo-poo too much on them because we've seen them recently, you know, be effective, be good, be decent. And the one thing we've always said with the Jaguars was they didn't have an accurate quarterback, and Blake Bortles would be missing wide open players. Now they got a quarterback that's got a little bit more accuracy. So I'm taking a wait and see approach with them. I'm have no problem taking D.D. Westbrook, you know, in the double digit rounds if he's there. That's no big deal with me.
Yeah, I really feel like that offense can turn it back around. They were a dominant threat, and when their offense is clicking, the defense isn't on the field every, you know, three plays, so they're able to be a bit more effective. I mean, you saw them kind of fold like the Denver defense folded for years just because they didn't have that offensive game going and keeping them going. So I really feel like this one actually might not be hype. I feel like these two guys might actually be – a decent grab. Nick Foles, you're grabbing. I mean, you're getting him 16th, 17th round in some leagues I'm in. So I'm liking that. Well, that's enough of the hype, guys. Do you have any of the sleepers that you're snagging late in mock drafts? No one is talking about right now. Like, this is what we do here. We grab your sleepers and we try to talk about them. Nate, we'll go with you first. Who's your guy?
I like Devin Funchess this year. It sounds crazy, you know. Just 2 years ago, he was the wide receiver 24. He had 840 receiving yards and 8 touchdowns, I believe. And for me, it's just he's upgraded at quarterback. I love Cam Newton, trust me. But Cam Newton was hindered, obviously, by a shoulder injury last year. He couldn't make passes downfield. That's why he dumped off to Christian McCaffrey 124 times. But now he's got, you know, Andrew touchdown machine Luck throwing to him. And, you know, for me, if he can make Eric Ebron fantasy relevant by throwing him 13 touchdown passes, you know, Devin Funchess is another big target in that end zone for Andrew Luck to target. And he's going to be the wide receiver two right now. He's listed as wide receiver two on the team, and I don't see that changing. So Devin Funchess is definitely one of those guys for me that not, you know, everybody loves to hate, but I think he's in a much better position this year. And I think he bounces back in 2019.
I'm going to go Noah Fant. Because you know Joe Flacco loves his tight ends. He's a rookie this year, so I mean I honestly suck at fantasy, so guys don't listen to me. But I mean this is like kind of the first year in a long time that a team has drafted to fit Joe Flacco's abilities and the things he's good at, and drafting a tight end like that, I think, is like opening a Christmas present for Joe Flacco. I mean, you saw what he did with Dennis Pitta, and then Dennis Pitta broke his hip 3 times, and that was that. And they've never really kind of done anything else like that. I think Mark Andrews was kind of the guy that they drafted for Flacco only to turn around and end up starting Lamar. I would say Mark Andrews also is another one. But again, like I said before, look who's throwing him the ball or not throwing the ball. So
don't dismiss yourself, Lindsay. A lot of analysts are actually praising Fant like for a late round option. But let's face it, you chose that because Joe Flacco's throwing to him. I mean, we all know that's the reason.
I mean, I wanted to pick Joe Flacco too, honestly, but I didn't want to on brand, you know.
Well, then stay on brand and do it.
Okay, let's do it. I'm gonna do it. I think he's going to have a bounce back year. He has kind of a fire lit under him, from what I've heard him say. And he's just determined to not only show up the Ravens for letting him go like that and for kind of slapping him in the face when the first time you ever get him some actual NFL talent around him is the same year you draft his replacement.
That's, I agree. And they replaced him for a running back, which is crazy.
Yes. And I mean, this whole new direction thing is just, it honestly like blows my mind. But yeah, I think he's, I mean, I don't really, I'm not good at fantasy. Joe Flacco doesn't put up good fantasy numbers most of the time, but I mean, he wins games, or he's going to win games.
Well, you definitely have me excited as a Broncos fan. That is for sure. I am definitely on board with what you're talking about, because I've always been a Broncos fan, and it's nice to see that's going to happen. George, who do you got? George is gone?
I think he's muted. He's actually muted. I can see that he's muted. I'll throw in another guy, Trey Burton. Trey Burton is going very late in rounds, and which is crazy to me because I have him as my tight end 5 this year. So, you know, last year he had all this hype that he was going to be the Travis Kelce of Matt Nagy's offense. And obviously that didn't pan out, but he still ended up the season for the first time as a tight end 1 on his offense. For the very first time, he was the tight end 7. Like, I know that's not great because we're talking about tight ends and anything beyond the top 4 is ugly. But still, he was the tight end 7. He did something. And now he's the second year in this offense. There's a lot of young talent in this offense. And I think Trubisky, who's trending up, is going to lean on Trey Burton this season. So I have him pretty ranked pretty high, and I'm getting him everywhere.
See, and I have him in my top 10. I didn't quite get him in top 5, but I'm with you. I think Trey Burton is actually a great steal. My guy's actually also a tight end in Austin Hooper. Austin Hooper, I feel like, is going to finish as a top 3 tight end this year. And I've been grabbing him, 12th, 13th round. And same thing. I mean, he just keeps trending up. He keeps doing more and more with that offense. And you're going to see, like, Calvin Ridley, Julio Jones, they're going to leave so many options available out there for everybody else on that team. Devonta Freeman, if he's back and he's healthy, it's just going to be a free-for-all down there in Atlanta is what it's going to be, which is probably not what Lindsay wants to hear. But at least for fantasy perspective, that's going to be nice.
I was about to say, look who's throwing him the ball.
Right.
The number 2 quarterback in fantasy last year.
Yes, absolutely.
At least he's good at something.
That's right. Hey, that's all we care about. It's fantasy football, right?
George, Mike, you want my sleeper now? I gave some of the greatest analysis I've ever given on mute. And I just wish you guys could have heard it. It was top notch, let me tell you. So my guy is going in the 10th round. He's on the Oakland Raiders. Nobody's really talking about him. It's Tyrell Williams. Coming over from the Chargers. He's their clear-cut second-best wide receiver. He's got, talent-wise, I would argue, probably the most talented wide receiver in the NFL across from him. Last year with the Chargers, he got 65 targets, 41 receptions, 653 yards, and 5 touchdowns. And that was sharing a field with Keenan Allen and Mike Williams. He's got Antonio Brown, who he's going to share the field with, but there's nobody else there for Derek Carr to target. So he's going to – I expect to see his targets to go up. I think his receptions will go up, yards, and possibly even touchdowns, all to increase the share in Oakland. And nobody's talking about him. He's almost like an afterthought in fantasy.
That's a good one. That's a good one right there. I think you're right. I think Tyrell Williams is actually one of those guys you can grab and be happy about right there.
Yeah. He's a solid wide receiver 3 with potential to go to wide receiver 2 some weeks.
Yeah. I mean, he's essentially free. So, I mean, any of these guys that we're talking about have high upside. And the truth is, it's like, if they don't pan out, so what? You drop them. I mean, you spent a 10 plus round pick on them. So what? That's why I love talking about sleepers, and I love all the late round guys that we discuss, because it's one of those things. It's low risk, high reward, possibly, So that's what I love about it.
Absolutely. The ones that'll make or break you for those championship runs. They might not win you the championship themselves, but they get you there, Good stuff. Well, guys, that's going to do it for the show tonight. That's going to wrap us up. Make sure you check us out on sleeperwire.com. Follow all the rest of our podcasts, including Dynasty Wire, Break from the Grind. We got the Fantasy Football Champs Pod, and the Fantasy Football Fam just joined us just recently. So we got more on the way as we grow the Sleeper Wire network. Make sure you send us questions on that site. We're getting close to draft time. We got our staff, everybody's on the go, ready, to go for you. We got 24 hours or less. We'll get them questions to you. Make sure you get out there, guys. Join the Pro-Am League, one of our listener leagues. You get to play against me. You get to play against Professor Chris, against George. You can get your bragging rights. It's really not that hard if you ask our guests tonight. They both just shellacked me last year. And remember what we do this for, guys, for Rob. We do this. Go to Rob, GoFundMe, or /RobJR, and donate. Get some money to this guy. He needs your help now more than ever. Get it out there, man. This is what we do it for. We fight in Lyme disease. Guys, why don't you go ahead and give them your plugs. Tell us where we can find you, where we can follow you, where we can hear more of you.
You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram and everything. It's the same name, so you can stalk me very easily. It's Lindsay OK with two Y's. And then you can also check out lindsayok.com for more stuff.
So I'm going to just continue on the promotion for Lindsay, because I just looked you up, and you don't need the followers if you got 23,000. But her last three tweets is, Nathan Peterman shouldn't be growing on anyone. And it's a griff, a gif from Home Alone said, I wouldn't let you sleep in my room if you're growing on my ass. Then she said, I had jelly beans and wine for dinner. And then surprise, and she's talking about The Bachelorette now, which I watch with my wife. And she said, surprise, Jed didn't bring out his effing guitar with a I'm sorry song, which is brilliant and genius. So you earned a follow, Lindsay. Congratulations. Now, if we want to talk about me, you can follow me on Twitter at DominateFF. You know, I write articles for Fantrax HQ over at Fantrax.com. I'm the co-host of Fantasy Tilt podcast with my buddy Keaton, which I'm about to record in about 35 minutes. And yeah, man, that's me. And I'm on Twitter like literally every second of every day because I'm obsessed, and that's just what I do.
I followed you back.
Oh, thank you so much.
Oh, there you go. I follow both you guys, and I like both you guys on Twitter. Lindsay, you're always cracking me up. Nate, and you're always dropping it down, man. You're always cracking me.
Thank you, man. I appreciate it.
Love the fantasy advice on there as well. And you can find me at DirtyJobs21 on Twitter. You can find me Dirty Jobs basically anywhere. You can find George at BFTG Pod. And you can find us at the Sleeper Wire Show. Guys, thanks again for joining us. It was a good time. Always fun having you guys on. Looking forward to the next time.
Thanks for having us. Thank you.
Absolutely. Have a good night, guys. Thanks.